very pleased with you and is thankful for the time you have spared for him, for the witness you are giving, and for the hardships you are enduring here. And Jesus says, you have testified for me in front of men in Rome, and I will testify for you in front of my Father in heaven. Yesterday, I said that I would continue today commenting the account of Pentecost. But in the last moment, I changed my mind. Hearing so many testimonies, I said, why don't I share also my small testimony, my journey with the Lord? After all, it's another way of speaking of Pentecost. How Pentecost happened in my life. I know that listening to what the Lord has done in the life of a person always encourages people. So let me share with you some of my personal journey with the Lord. The Lord called me, so I knew the Lord very early in my life, at the age of 12. It was the year immediately after the end of the World War. I entered a college. In this college, we had a retreat. And in the retreat, for the first time, I heard the love of God being spoken of, Jesus. And I realized that the Lord called me to become a priest, a Franciscan religious priest. I started my formation, which lasted many years, 50 years maybe. I was ordained priest in 1958, which means 60 years ago. After my ordination, I was sent to Switzerland to graduate in theology. Then I went to Milan to graduate in classical literature because I wanted to specialize in the New Testament and the Fathers of the Church. And at the end, after I graduated in classical literature, they asked me to stay, and I started teaching at the Catholic University of Milan. I was very happy with my job. My superiors also were very, very happy. In 1975, a lady whom I accompanied in her journey, spiritual journey, came back from a retreat house and said to me, you know, I have met in this house very strange people. People who raise their hands, clapping their hands, they even speak of miracles happening among them. As a wise and traditional spiritual director, I said to this lady, you never go again to this retreat house. She obeyed, but as women usually do, didn't give up easily. So she started inviting me. Of course, they were the first charismatic coming to Italy. And I remember one day she invited me here in Rome to a prayer meeting. I was there very critical, as an observer. And so much so that the leaders of the group said to the people, don't go to this particular priest. He is an enemy. He is an enemy. But the persons, seeing a priest among them, would come and ask for confession. And listening to the confessions of these people was the first stroke of the Holy Spirit in my life. A real, almost physical stroke. I felt shaken like a tree. Why? Because I had never seen such a deep and sincere repentance as in these people. They were not great sinners, but they had a deep repentance. And they understood what Jesus meant when he said, when the Paraclete comes, he will convince the world of sin. So these persons were convinced of sin. So I started being interested in this phenomenon. I even gave a course at the university on the charismatics and prophetics movement in the early church. And meanwhile, in 1777, a lady, another lady in Milan, offered, there are many ladies in my life, you see. A lady offered 4 tickets to go to the United States and attend a conference, an ecumenical conference, which took place in Kansas City, Missouri. So one of these tickets was offered to me, and I had to come to the United States to start learning English. So I accepted, and I attended this ecumenical rally in Kansas City. There were 40,000 people, half Catholics and half of many, many other Christian denominations. And I remember one evening, I was still an observer, an outsider. One evening, a person, a leader, took the microphone and started speaking prophetically. Imagine in the stadium in the evening, there were 40,000 people around. He started saying, "You bishops, you priests, you pastors, mourn and weep because the body of my son is broken. You lay people, men and women, mourn and weep because the body of my son is broken." Little by little, I started seeing people falling on their knees around me till they were only one assembly sobbing, repenting for the divisions in the body of Christ. And all this, while there was a phrase written electronically in the sky, "Jesus is Lord." It was, for me, a prophecy. And I said, if one day all the Christians shall be reunited, it will happen in this way, when we are on our knees under the Lordship of Christ. I had the opportunity later on to mention this vision even here in the presence of the Pope. But still I was there as an observer. Something was very, very, for me, was very meaningful. After I was unprepared to accept everything. There was a song which was sung by the multitude. It was the story of Jericho, which falls at the sound of the trumpets. You know this song? "Lift high the banners of love, Jericho must fall, Jericho must fall." When the crowd sang this, my fellow Italians, there were 4 of us, nudged at me and said, "Listen carefully, because Jericho, it's you." And Jericho fell, not without defending himself. We went to a retreat house in New Jersey, and there was a retreat there, a retreat in preparation for the Baptism in the Spirit, Life in the Spirit seminar. So they invited me to stay, and I said to myself, after all, this is not a house of prostitution. It is a house of retreat, so it won't do any harm to me if I stay. So, Lord, I give you this last possibility of convincing me. So I stayed. And I started preparing myself for receiving the prayer of the baptism of the Spirit. Let me share one detail. One evening, one afternoon, I was walking in the park of this house. And the Lord spoke to me through an image, an interior image. The image was this. I saw myself as a man upon a chariot, holding the reins of the horses. And I understood this was an image of me as a man wanting to be in control of his life. Am I the only one in this position? At a certain moment, it was as if Jesus stood beside me and with infinite respect, he said to me, "Do you want to give me the reins of your life?" Listen, because this question is addressed maybe now to you. Do you want to give me the reins of your life? I understood that this was serious. It was not a joke. So I said, "Yes, Lord, take the reins of my life." I received the baptism in the Spirit. I remember the moment when they said to me, "Now choose Jesus as your Lord, personal Lord." At that moment, I lifted up my eyes, and I saw the crucifix, which hung upon the altar. In a flash, it was like Jesus was saying to me, "Be careful, because the Jesus you are choosing as your Lord, it's not an easy Jesus. It's not a rose water Jesus. It's me, the crucifix." And this helped me, because still I had some suspicions that the charismatic renewal or this Pentecostal phenomenon could be something emotional, superficial. At that moment I understood, no, if you really heal to the Spirit, he will take you straight to the core of the gospel, which is the cross of Jesus. Nothing happened during the prayer, my baptism in the Spirit, only the decision, clear decision, to accept Jesus as Lord, to entrust to him all my life, my religious life, my profession, my priesthood, everything. The day after, I took a plane to reach my friar in Washington, where I had to spend 3 months to learn English. You see, I didn't profit very much of this study, 3 months. It was my honeymoon with the Lord, 3 months. But I am told that sometimes honeymoon lasts even less than 3 months. So I came back to Italy, and the people were very surprised, very amazed. And one lady said, "What a miracle. We have sent to America Saul, and they have sent us back Paul." And I started joining people, charismatic people, praying in the Spirit. And when the Lord came again in my life and spoke to me through an image and some words, not spoken outside, no vision, only this way of communicating with these creatures that God has. He engraves, writes, is his thoughts in the heart. So the image was this. I was praying, my eyes closed, and I saw Jesus passing in front of me. It was precisely the same Jesus as when he went back from the Jordan after his baptism in the Spirit, and he was about to start proclaiming the kingdom of God. And passing in front of me, he said to me, always in this interior way, if you want to help me in proclaiming the kingdom of God, leave everything and follow me. As a Franciscan, I was supposed to have already left everything, but no, at that moment I understood that how rich I was. And I understood that the Lord wanted me to leave everything, my teaching position. I was head of the department of this big university. And he wanted me to start being an itinerant preacher of the gospel in the style of St. Francis of Assisi. So I went to my general superior in Rome. He said to me to wait 1 year. And then after this year, he recognized, he said, yes, it is the will of God. So I started preparing myself for this new ministry, proclaiming the kingdom of God. Of course, as a priest, I already gave homilies on Sundays, but that's all. I was making a retreat in Switzerland in a small convent when a phone call came from Rome, and it was my general superior who said to me, Pope John Paul II has appointed you preacher to the papal household. Do you have serious reasons to say no? I tried to see to find serious reasons. I didn't. So I had to start preparing my first preaching, my Lent, back in 1980, almost 39 years ago. And I am still in that position, because Benedict XVI confirmed me and Pope Francis did the same. And I have an explanation why no preacher lasted so long. It's because we had three very wise popes in the Catholic Church, and they understood that this place was the place where Father Cantalamessa would do less harm to the church. So in a few weeks, I shall start my preaching my Advent, because this ministry consists in giving a meditation to the Pope and the cardinals, the bishops of Roman Curia, every Friday morning during Lent and Advent, not all the year long. Of course, this has been a blessing, because knowing close these persons, John Paul II, a saint for us Catholics, and Benedict as cardinal used to be always in the first line. And sometimes I say to my fellow Capuchins, what would you say if the prefect of the Congregation of Faith was listening to you and taking notes? No, but at the end, I preached three Lents on the Holy Spirit, commending the hymn Veni Creator. And somebody has this book, Come Creator Spirit. And if you see, you look at the book, there is an introduction, a presentation of Benedict, who had listened to my talks. And when the German edition of this book came out, he wanted to make a presentation, a very precious presentation. Then, little by little, invitations started coming from Christians of other denominations. So much so that now a third part of my ministry occurs with Protestants, Lutherans, Baptists, Methodists, Anglican, of course. I have preached a retreat to 70 Lutheran pastors in Sweden some years ago. Imagine, on the letter to the Romans. In the United States, I preached in many settings in Asbury Seminary, in St. Paul, Minnesota, in Arizona, in many places. And the most amazing case was 3 years ago. 3 years ago, the Archbishop of Canterbury, Justin Welby, invited me, a Catholic priest, to give the homily at Westminster during the Mass for the inauguration of the General Synod of the Anglican Church. So I had to address all this congregation, and the Queen Elizabeth was in front of me. And afterward, she commented, if a Catholic priest has been invited to Westminster to speak, something very important must have happened in Christianity. And here I am with you, dear brothers, now sharing my experience of the Holy Spirit. Nothing changed in my life exteriorly, but everything changed when I yielded to the Spirit, and I accepted becoming a child and asking people to pray over me. I think everything came from this decision, and I bless the Lord all the time for this. Now, just a few days ago, I have been appointed ecclesiastical assistant to the Worldwide Catholic Renewal. I don't know exactly still what this means, but I should provide that the Catholic renewal remain orthodox in the Catholic Church while enjoying the full liberty, freedom of the Spirit. Pray for me that I may be of some utility for my brothers. Thank you for listening to me. We should clap the hands, but not to me, of course, to Jesus, together. Let me see if you have learned the lesson Romans 10:9. If with your lips you proclaim that Jesus is Lord, and in your heart you believe that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Now let us proclaim, not just as a joke, as an act of faith. As we did the first day, you learn the two short phrases. Jesus is Lord.
Jesus is Lord.
Second phrase, God raised him from the dead. So we proclaim standing this, the kerygma. If with your lips you proclaim that, and in your heart you believe that, you shall be saved. We shall be
saved.
Amen.